All right, okay. If we do that again, are y'all doing it so that you can laugh at me? I have never. I mean, I have lived in Africa. I have played football. Nothing is more intimidating than what I just did. So, I need a coach if we do this again. Easter week or something like that. So, anyways. Christmas is about the love of God. And just so that you know and are prepared, this night, this message is going to be the shortest I've ever preached intentionally, so that you can go and be with your families and prepare for this season. But I wanted just to wrap up our Advent season thinking about what is undeniably the most important truth in the universe. And yet, I think sometimes is underemphasized. And I would say in my own ministry, underemphasized. And that is the love of God, that God loves us. There is nothing more beautiful or more precious than that truth. And as we round out this year and this season and thinking about Christmas, nothing I could say beyond this is more meaningful than that God loves you. And I hope you know that. Wherever you're at, whatever you've done, whatever you're contemplating doing, God loves you.
Amen.
And let's never walk away from that. Throughout these four Sundays of Advent, we've wanted to prepare ourselves. We are inundated with Christmas messages. But we wanted to prepare ourselves for what Christmas is all about. So on the first Sunday, I preached from Isaiah chapter 9 about how we have such hope. We have hope that this child that was given, this son which is born to us, that the government shall be upon his shoulders and the increase of this government. We have so much hope. The increase of this government shall continue forever. And we see that. We see that in missions around the world, that the gospel is in places where 100 years ago that wasn't even dreamed fathomable. But that government also is not just in the breadth of it, but also in the depth, in how we experience, and that the government that God wants in our hearts, and that we open our hearts to him, is to grow deeper and deeper. And so we have hope there. And we too build now reminded us that Christmas will mean more if we prepare ourselves for Christmas. And the way we prepare ourselves is to remember the darkness that we were delivered from. Remember he asked that question, where would you be had you not met Jesus? Or had Jesus not met you? Had there been no Christmas, had there been no salvation, where would you be? I remember being teary-eyed, thinking about the path that I was on before Jesus grabbed my hand and put me on a new path. Last week, I tried to communicate the joy that we are to have, knowing that incarnate vengeance came to save us. That God in vengeance, we read in Isaiah chapter 35, stepped into our world as a baby, vengeful against all that sin and Satan has tried to do to destroy this world. And through the tenderness and the helplessness of a baby, who would grow to be a man, God expressed his vengeance against sin and evil so that he'd save you.
Amen.
And tonight, I want us to remember that all that God has done is driven because he loves us. There's no wonder that John 3:16 is the most well-known Bible verse. By believer and unbeliever alike, it's no wonder that most kids memorize John 3:16 first. People long to know that God loves them. I long to know that. I long to be told. I mean, when it all boils down, I remember someone interviewing one of my pastoral and theological heroes, John Piper, and saying, what is the greatest truth you believe in the Bible? And who taught it to you? Where did you learn it? And he said, I learned it on my mom's lap. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. People want to know that God loves them. There is no greater truth for the soul, no greater treasure in all Scripture than the love of God. So let's never walk away from that. God's love, though, is not fuzzy. God's love has contours and edges that His Word teaches us. And so I want us to look into this passage, 1 John chapter 4. And I want to just draw out four very basic, simple principles that you most certainly already know, but I just want to be reminded of them as we head into Christmas. So let's read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. That should be on the screen behind me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I want us to see four things from this text. The first is this: God's love changes you. It changes who you are. Many people live in this world as selfish individuals. They live as angry, bitter, hateful, spiteful. But not when you know God. Not when you know God. Verse 8 tells us that anyone who does not love does not know God. And why? Why can you say something so massive is that, John? Because God is love. Because God is love. If you say that you love God and hate your brother, you are a liar, he says in chapter 1. My mom used to say, birds of a feather flock together. That's sort of old school. I don't know if they say that kind of stuff anymore. Basically, it means the people you hang around are the people you will be like. If you want to be like God and be around God, you will become like God in the sense that you will love, because He is love. He changes our hearts to love. There have been people who have hurt you, and then people who hurt me, that I choose to forgive and love simply because know God, and that's what God does. The very essence of God is love. Imagine that. All that God is, and all of his attributes, in his essence, he's love. He's holy, yes. He's spirit, yes. He's righteous and true, but he's love. And the mark of a true Christian is that we love others also. This passage is particularly pointed towards the love that Christians have towards one another. It's not that non-Christians don't love at all. Certainly they do. Unbelievers certainly love. But the way Christians extend love to one another is driven by the fact that we are all connected to the same Father who is love and who loves us in spite of ourselves. In John's Gospel, this same author records Jesus when he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We often twist this. "By this they will know that you are my disciples," because you can really parse out the truth, or because you are really magnanimous in your worship, or you are really sacrificial, or you are whatever, fill in the blank. But Jesus says, because you love one another. Christians, we are to love one another. And one of the things I've mentioned this several times recently in the church, that when people ask me about Windy City Church, people from outside, they say, "Well, tell me about your church." And I say, "Our church is a happy church. People like each other." And you would be surprised, maybe or maybe not, at how, like, amazed some people are to hear that. Like, they like each other? Yeah, like, the hardest thing I have to do is try to get them to stop talking to each other during the greeting time. They seem to really enjoy one another. Because God's love changes you. And I think it's amazing that none of us knew each other 4 years ago. None of us. I mean, the Harmons that we knew each other, but most of us didn't know each other. So the love that we have in this congregation is born out of what God's doing in each of our hearts collectively, and he puts us together. And I just want to encourage you as you come to the end of this year, may that continue to grow. For every new person that walks in the door, that they would know that they're loved. Second thing in this text that I see is that God's love brings life. Verse 9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." God's love was made manifest. God's love showed up. That's what Christmas is. God's love showing up. It was made manifest. It was on display so that we might live through him. Last week I said that I was struggling to find joy because it just seems like everywhere I look, like nobody gets Christmas outside of the church, right? Nobody gets it. It's all about consumerism now. And I was just really struggling because it felt like Christmas was stolen. If you and I allow the culture to define Christmas, we're going to miss this reality of the life-giving hope of Jesus. Because we all know once we have to start paying off the credit cards, we're trying to figure out how we're going to have enough to pay the bills after we've overextended ourselves. That's not life-giving, by the way. That's anxiety-producing. But the real meaning of Christmas is that God sent His Son so that you might live through Him. That's the purpose of Christmas, so that you might live. God in Jesus was undoing the curse of sin, which said, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And every time we sin and go against the will of God, we amen what our first parents did in the garden. And death takes a little bit more of who we are. And God in Jesus at Christmas is saying, I'm going to undo that. I'm going to untangle the mess that death has created, that sin has created in your life, so that you might live. You might know what life is all about. This is what the Gospel of John. Remember we went through the Gospel of John? The very end of the Gospel of John, he writes, he says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might, believing, live through Him. God wants us to live. To experience His life, abundant life, through Christ. And that life can come to shepherds, or magi, or kings, or can come to students and teachers, and doctors, and moms, and bus drivers, and accountants, and architects, painters. God has life for all of us. But it's found in Jesus. And it's found when we surrender ourselves to Him.
Amen.
So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's surrender ourselves. Radically, completely, repeatedly. And let's experience the life that God created Christmas for. Because He loves us. Third thing. God's love initiates sacrificially. God's love initiates sacrificially. Look at verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is what sets the Christian faith apart from all others. God loves us not in response to our devotion to Him. God loves us first. God initiates the love. And He does it over and over and over. In fact, in verse 19 of chapter 4, John just says, we love Him because He first loved us. If you love God at all tonight, it's because He loved you first. That's the only reason. We would have run so far, so fast in the other direction. But there's something about the love of God that brings us back and brings us to our knees. God's love, though, is not just soft sentimentality. It's not sitting on the couch next to your buddy, your spouse. God's love moved Him to sacrifice that which was most precious. The life, the fellowship, the communion that the Trinity had for all eternity was broken in the incarnation and in the cross of Christ when Jesus became the propitiation. That's a big word. The ESV study notes, an ESV Bible, says propitiation is a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it to favor. This is the love of God, that He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice that bore God's wrath and turned it to favor. That's what God's love is. That's what Christmas is. That's what God's love does for us. It initiates sacrificially. And I say that if you and I are going to love, it is all, and we're going to follow God's example of, it is always going to cost. You will lose something if you choose to love. Jesus lost his life, laid it down willingly, and we must be willing to lose something as well for the purpose of love. We should never lose the connection between Bethlehem manger and Calvary's cross. God's love initiates sacrificially. So God's love changes you as you stay close to Him and as you know Him. God's love brings life. God's love initiates sacrificially. And then lastly, we see in this text that God's love is a pattern. Verse 11, very simple. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God loved us this way, sacrificially, as a propitiation, initiating, in a life-giving, life-changing way, if God loves us in this way, we should love each other. Now, there, of course, are some ways that we cannot love like God. We cannot give our life as an atoning sacrifice. That was Jesus' job. But how can we love each other? I want to close with this question, and then we're going to sing a new song. This Christmas, I want to ask you, because of the hope that you have in Jesus, because of the darkness that you've been delivered from, because of the vengeful incarnation that saved you and gave you joy, and because of God's love for you, how will you choose to love? How will you choose to love this week, this month, this year? What can you sacrificially give away? What are you willing to lose in order to bless someone else? Is there a way that you can love that doesn't wait for someone else to deserve it? Sometimes we withhold our love because we feel like, you know what? They don't deserve it. Do you not thank God that He did not treat you that way? So let's not treat others that way. How can you choose to love in a way that will bring life? And I think the best way that you can give life is by pointing people to the only one who can give them life. Pointing them to Christ. So Paul, I'm going to ask that you come up. This closing song may not be familiar to you. Love came down at Christmas. The third verse says this. Love shall be our token. That's going to be the mark of our lives. Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and others. Love to plea and give and sign. May you all have a great Christmas. Let's stand and let's sing together.